Is this fucking movie made by New World Pictures? Because it, I couldn't find a single thing that said this was made by New World Pictures. So,
it's
what the
there.
Fuck is happening? Why are we watching this movie? Can I just submit random movies that we watch and then we pretend it's New World Pictures movies?
It's not a pretend. You didn't watch the link, Mark. And because you didn't watch the link, you didn't see New World Video in the front and end of this movie.
I looked on IMDb. It said nothing about New World Video. Well, nothing.
That, you're looking in the wrong places, my brother. My literal brother.
Your blood brother. Vidtober music.
Done.
Done. Good opening, Mark. That's probably up for a worldie.
Welcome to the New World Pictures podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures and New World Video. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
I'm pretty convinced that if I put on like a raincoat, you guys wouldn't even recognize that I'm on this podcast.
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
And Erica.
Look, I swear I recorded this episode already and I saved it in this locker. I swear to you, I put the recording in this locker. The recording was in there. It was in this locker. You gotta believe me. You gotta believe me.
Well, the news cameras are here. And welcome to another episode of Vidtober 2-Knee, eh? Where we celebrate the movies of New World Video, but specifically Canadian movies released by New World Video. And returning with too long of an absence, frankly,
yes.
A returning guest, you've heard her in Girls Just Want to Have Fun and Flowers in the Attic, Jessica Young, returning to the show.
Thank you. A pleasure to be back.
It's a pleasure to have you back, and this is also the first episode, not only that you've recorded with us in a while, but also this is the first episode you've recorded now back in your native Canada.
Live from Canada.
Is this legal? Do we have to pay tariffs?
I mean, I don't know if it gives me an unfair bias, but, you know, the movie begins in Montreal, and that is my place of birth. Je n'ai à Montréal. So,
Yeah, the whole movie takes place in Montreal. Did you recognize places, or did you...
I did not.
Was that just because of the VHS quality, or was that
I was looking for Place des Arts and Notre Dame and St. Joseph's Oratory. I saw none of the above.
None of the good spots, but it is one of those weird movies where they don't seem to show a whole lot of, like,
yeah,
I don't, never been, but they don't show like buildings in a way that you're like, oh, well, that must be a landmark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just none of that. It's just, yeah, you're just in the streets of Montreal, wherever they are. Which is funny because the director did announce the time they were shooting this that that Montreal was going to be a star of the movie. And I'm like, well, I mean, it stars in the movie,
mm-hmm,
but it's like a side character.
Sadly, it doesn't seem like they filmed any in old Montreal, which is really like the heart of Montreal. It's the downtown core. It's where Notre Dame Cathedral, where Celine Dion married René Angélil, right? It's really amazing. And it's, we were
the
just
heart
there.
Of culture.
Yeah. And it's very lively. Like Montreal used to be considered the Paris of North America back in the 60s and 70s.
And Amtrak used to be considered the Eurorail of the United States. But, you know, things change.
the Eurorail of Canada and the United States.
Oh, no.
That's right.
Well, it is that time of year where the leaves are turning, the air is getting cooler, and the pumpkins are ready to be carved, which meant it was time for us to watch an espionage thriller.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We're watching 1987's Keeping Track.
Margot Kidder is Claire Tremaine. She can't resist getting involved.
You know, sometimes a mustache can be a sign of sterility.
Michael Sarrazin is Dan Hawkins.
Jesus, you're a jerk, Hawkins.
He usually reads the news. Now he's making it.
I'm very sorry for the disturbance, ladies and gentlemen. This young lady and I are about to be arrested at any moment. If you would follow this young lady downstairs to the safety deposit room, we're going to show you a suitcase with $5 million in it.
I think we lost him. Oh, come on, stop on it!
They're on their own and are about to find out the price of knowing too much. Keeping Track. Who are the hunters? Who is the enemy?
Got a murder, major robbery, CIA involvement, RCMP involvement, Department of Defense involvement. And now you tell me the cops are talking to a man who's a Russian? What more do you want?
They're caught in the middle. And the squeeze is on. Dan Hawkins and Claire Tremaine. Two people in the right place at the wrong time. Margot Kidder and Michael Sarrazin.
Can we talk?
Sure.
Keeping Track.
Oh, it ends with an explosion. How great.
Nice.
That's terrific.
That's right. 1987's Keeping Track, brought to you by Action News. We cover it all, from famines to the Irish Republican Army to AI-enhanced computer chips to foreign dissidents hanging out in Montreal shopping malls. We cover it all. Well, except sports. No sports! At Action News, we even get into the action news by becoming a part of the news. When you need the news to be the news, covered by Action News, we are Action News.
So true. So true.
Yep.
This is directed by Robin Spry, who started his career at the National Film Board in Canada, where he made films like 1969's Prologue, a drama that takes place during the 1968 Democratic Convention, and the 1973 documentary Action, The October Crisis of 1970, as well as the 1976 drama One Man, before leaving the National Film Board to start a new production company called Telescene, which he used to make feature films. And this is the first film for that company, for Telescene. It was written by Pulse News Entertainment reviewer Jamie Brown, who worked out the story with Spry for over the course of 3 years and told The Standard that the story was inspired by an article about how the KGB funneled paychecks for their spies in the U.S. through Canadian banks. This stars Margot Kidder of the Amityville Horror and Superman fame. In fact, she had recently appeared in Superman 3 prior to this.
I've seen it.
Yes, yes. As well as the 1985 drama Little Treasure with Ted Danson and Burt Lancaster. I bring up because I was like, what is this movie? I've never seen it. I need to see it.
Oh.
Kidder was attracted to playing this role because it would show off Canada. She told the Montreal Gazette in October 1985, she said, "One of the things I found frustrating about coming back home to Canada was that they made Toronto look like Detroit or something, and it drives me insane," said the native of Yellowknife NWT. One of
Northwest
the Northwest
Territory.
Thank you, Canada. For
Jess is always going on and on and on about how frustrated she is.
She is. You have said that to me so many times.
If I had a nickel for every time.
Yellowknife, one of your favorite towns. I'm sure you've been many times.
Oh, yeah.
She goes on, one of the wonderful things about Montreal as a city is that it's so unique, so special. The thing that attracted me is that we're using Montreal as Montreal with its French and English cultures.
I wish she would have then slipped in some French just to like really nail it home. Like
she speaks almost no French. She
et toi, person I'm interviewing with.
In fact, when people speak French to her, she just responds in English.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She pulls a real Han Solo about it. She's like, I get it, but I will not respond in your language. And they respond back in English because they're like, no, fair. I don't want you to speak French, so this is fine. And then she continued. She said, definitely part of my attraction to the film had to do with my deep involvement in the nuclear freeze movement.
Wow.
But that's as far as I'll go with it. What does that mean?
I don't think I saw that Superman one. I don't think I saw that Superman episode where they talked about nuclear freeze. I must have missed that one.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze is a Batman villain, so yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know if she got confused. I'm not sure. The nuclear freeze.
Just point of clarity, though. Was it the nuclear freeze or nuclear freeze? Just really quickly.
Nuclear freeze.
Okay. I didn't know if she was like, I want to stop families.
Nuclear freeze movement.
This is how we find out. Okay. Holy shit! We're gonna get her eight families.
She had her daughter. She was going back to Canada and bringing her daughter with her, and she shot a lot of movies around this time, which I'll talk about in a second. Because outside of Superman 4, Kidder made a bunch more movies in Canada around this time, such as 1990's White Room and 1989's Mob Story, released by New World Video in the UK.
Oh fuck.
So we got that one to watch.
Oh god.
Seen that one. Seen
You've
that
seen
one.
Mob Story?
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Oh.
I don't know why, but I have.
I don't know either. I love that you have though. That's amazing. So before this movie comes out, Kidder admitted to the LA Times in March 1986 that she was not sure where her career was going. She said, quote, I am in a weird frame of mind at the moment. I know acting is not going to be enough for me for the rest of my life. This business is very hard on women at a certain age, and I never want to end up just having to accept what's offered me. Mm-hmm. Respect, Margot Kidder. She was
easy for you to say, man. Easy for you to say, man of not of a certain age.
A man of an absolute certain age. she was starting to maybe flirt with directing around that time, too, because she was like, what else am I going to do? She stayed in Canada and made movies. Here's where you can watch Keeping Track. You can watch it on FlixHouse. That's apparently a streaming service, and Mark used it.
Is that spelled with an X or a CK?
An X.
Ooh. Does that mean there's like also like porns on there?
It's not spelled with three X's. Oh, it's just spelled with one.
Forget it.
It's sort of a low grade Tubi.
Yeah.
Tubi.
It is. Yeah. We watched it, most of us, on a VHS rip that we made from the actual VHS, which you can find on our YouTube page.
Thank you for that, Kim.
Wish I'd known that earlier.
Can you rent it from Rybusters yet?
No. Well, it is. It would be available.
You stumbled, so I don't think so. That one's on the collector's shelf, it seems. You stumbled. Is that one behind a glass case? Yeah.
It's a rare one.
He's not answering. It's locked. It's behind a locked case. I'm only allowed to touch it when I put the special gloves on.
Is Rybusters like a comic book store where they have certain videos that are in the glass case
that you can't touch? Yeah. Yeah,
it's a internal video store in our house where you can rent things. But
I work there. I'm mostly just on the cleaning crew. I open and close the store. Well, audio wink. Guys, don't tell anybody I'm sleeping with the owner of Rybusters. That's how I got the job.
Holy shit.
I wish you hadn't said that.
That's so cool.
Totally fucked the owner of Rybusters.
You're making it worse.
Let's talk about what this movie is about. Mark, what is Keeping Track about?
Keeping track is about a lot of things. It's about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's about government espionage and the CIA. It's even about learning how to hotwire a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping track is really about maintaining a consistent running regimen. Now, it's good for your heart. It's good for your weight. But most importantly, it's good when you're going to be chased every 5 to 8 minutes. So keep on running, everybody.
It's crucial. Jess, what is keeping track about?
You know, I don't ever like correcting people, but I do think that you spoke a bit out of turn. You said they were at the wrong place at the wrong time, but in the trailer, they clearly said they were at the right place at the wrong time. I just wanted to clarify that for our audience.
Point, counterpoint.
But honestly,
this movie dictates terms.
Yes.
Yep.
It does.
What is it about? It's about, you know, ladies maybe imagining things and being crazy. It's about, it's about people feeling comfortable enough to sleep in a red trench coat, you know, without training. You know, those are some of the things that I learned from watching it. And, you know, I found it kind of refreshing. It was a very comforting film in many ways.
I don't have a red trench coat, but I'm planning to sleep tonight in a black one. So I'll report back on how that goes.
Well, the red one is for running. The black one's for
sleep. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
You have to wear the right trench coat for the right activity. Mm-hmm. Erica, what is keeping track about?
A Canadian executive goes to extreme lengths to avoid giving an in-person presentation in New York.
However you get out of work.
Anything.
That's really just good. Yeah.
For me, I thought this movie was about how a young, ambitious bank executive uses his girlfriend's work to advance his career.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Fuck you, Pierre. fuck. Et tu, fuck you, Pierre.
Yeah.
Here's what Letterboxd put as the synopsis.
I can't wait for this. I really can't wait.
We're on Letterboxd. Give us a follow there if you would like. The CIA, KGB, and RCMP.
Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Thank you. Here I was doing some real-time research. Don't have to anymore. Thank you.
Are after a lady banker, Kidder. just in case.
In case.
Just in case.
In case anybody thought another woman was in the movie.
Another woman. Is there another woman that's not on the poster who's playing?
Or just a banker.
Right.
Just a banker.
Well, a lady banker. They're specific. Mm-hmm. A lady banker.
Yeah.
Who has a piece of mutated microchip that engages directly with brain cells.
No.
Nope.
No.
What?
Nope.
What?
No.
Look, even if not she has all. It, it's not going to be where she left it. Am I right? For those of us who've seen it.
I agree that is the synopsis of a movie. And I will also agree that a mutated microchip is in this movie or rather is discussed in this movie and briefly, very briefly appears.
Yeah. Makes like a real guest appearance.
But that is not what this movie is about at all.
Yeah.
It makes a cameo at the tail end of this
movie. It's introduced to the beginning.
Right.
After the worst opening sequence of like colors and names and colors and names.
The news.
A bunch of information. Pay attention. Hurry. Pay attention. A bunch of information. This is important. The movie started. That was my experience. I don't know about anybody
else.
It
is.
It made the opening of Dune, I'm talking about the 1980s Dune, seem easy to comprehend. Like, oh, totally get the spice, all of that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I got it. Totally. Yeah, totally simple. Got it.
Really?
This one was like, what?
It makes all of, really, all of Frank Herbert's series, the whole oeuvre makes it very, like, easy to, you know, it's very
Frank
simple.
Herbert
really.
Would have been like, wait, what?
Wait,
what is happening?
What is happening? Action News, that's where we meet Michael Sarrazin. He plays Action News anchor Daniel Hawkins. But this isn't any old anchor. This is a guy who won't take a break.
Yeah.
His boss is like, take a break, dude. And he's like, mm-hmm. I will not, even though I have a boat that I need to fix up. I won't. I'm too addicted to news. I personally don't even need the suggestion to take time off. I'm like, when can I take time off? I don't need anybody going, you work too hard. Could you just take some time off? Mm-hmm. I don't need that.
Although I do empathize, or I guess associate with having a overwhelming side project where you're like, I don't have the faculties or the time to invest in this side project, in his case, a yacht. And yet, yeah. I'm going to take this on anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you talking about this podcast? This is your side project?
Does he even know how much shellacking is involved in the yacht?
If we've learned
so
anything
much shellacking.
From They're Playing With Fire, it's that a yacht requires so much shellacking. You need a person on staff to shellack at all times.
Yeah.
Sarrazin is a Canadian actor, maybe best known for 1969's They Shoot Horses, Don't They? Which I'm sure we've all seen.
That was the title they went with? Yes. Has anybody ever seen that?
I have not.
Yeah, exactly. They should have renamed it. That's why. Who would rent
it was,
that?
It was a popular film at the time.
Let's see. Jaws.
Popular hell.
They Shoot Horses, Don't They?
Well, Jaws hadn't been made yet, but I hear you.
You can imagine.
Yeah, if like 10 years later, you're like, oh, this Jaws came out. I like that a lot more than that the movie where they shot horses, right? Sarrazin also starred with Kidder in a movie called a 1975 film called The Reincarnation of Peter Proud.
Again, that's what they went with. That's the final title. That's what they launched it with that.
It sounds like a book that your English teacher introduces and you're like, 100%.
Fuck. You guys have to read Peter Proud too? Yes,
We have to write a paper on Peter Proud in 6 weeks.
Fuck Peter Proud.
It sucks.
10-page minimum.
Fuck. Single spacing? Single spacing?
Single space? Double space. Double space.
Fuck.
Oh, double space.
Fucking
okay,
Peter
cool.
Proud.
Okay.
Fuck him.
Shit.
Dude, they got away with double space.
Oh. Just 1.5, dude. They never know.
Yeah.
So we might as well get to it. Margot Kidder, she plays a character named Mickey in this. She works at a bank that sells trains. I'm very confused by this. Jess, maybe you can explain it in a second. I don't know if you've lived in
Canada
a long time. I just don't know of a bank that's like, we're a bank, invest with us. But also, we also invest in transit lines. I know that to be two separate things, not the same thing. But I don't know. Anyway, here's what
that's
happens.
That's not why you're a lady executive at a bank.
That's right.
And that's why you'll never be one.
A lady teller.
I also wondered what her actual name was. Because she said
Claire.
Outside the bank. Claire, that's right. Because she says, outside the bank, my friends call me Mickey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we take a ride with finding out why she's called Mickey. And mm-hmm. she says it's because of Mickey Mouse. We find out later it's not. But also what it is not embarrassing or something that you couldn't tell people.
That she supports an alcoholic? That's 100% embarrassing, and you shouldn't tell anybody
know.
That.
But here's her in the very beginning of the movie. She's having not only trouble with work, but she's having trouble in her relationships.
Wish it was right. There's an article about your deal in the Times.
I didn't try and take your deal from you, Pierre.
Then why didn't you tell me you were doing a computer study on rapid transit in Manhattan?
Because you've taken credit for my work once too often. Pierre, look, I wish it were still your idea, and I wish that you were going to New York instead of me, but I designed the model. It's my algorithm. I did the simulation from start to finish, and I deserve this.
I'll have my things out of the apartment by the time you get back.
Adieu, Pierre.
Adieu!
There's so much there that's amazing. Number one, Erica was just doing it while we were listening to it. There's
like
this
the
weird
pan flute
score in this movie that is, what is happening? Why?
It.
And it's so soft and like in the background.
Was it Zamfir? Sometimes...
Yeah, I don't, is it? I don't know.
Oh.
Man, Mark's looking it up. It's amazing.
Oh no, I'm not looking that up.
I'm doing my other side hobby. I'm trying to bring it into fruition.
He's doing a quick analysis on the New York Metro as well to see what he can quickly turn out. He's going to do a presentation tomorrow.
Yeah, he's got work to do.
Yeah, he's got to train.
I'm very busy, guys.
But also, like, is any of the work she was talking about? Now, granted, I'm obviously not in favor of the fact that he was taking credit for her work. But none of the work she's talking about sounds like banking.
Correct. It's all future knowledge about social media.
Right. I'm like, what is she doing? It was so confused that I was like, it seemed right away she's introduced as she works in the bank. And I'm like, cool. Then she has this scene. I'm like, does she work in a bank?
Mm-hmm. And tell me what trains have to do with algorithms, because I'm all ears.
I don't know.
I can't wait.
What are you doing? Anyway, it's crazy. We'll get to Pierre a little bit later on. He is the worst, but nope. He's not in the movie much.
Adieu, Pierre.
Oh, adieu.
My God. Adieu. Again, one of the few actual words of French that she actually
says. She wanted him to know she meant business. So mm-hmm. She was like, I'm busting out one word of French.
That's right.
And she was so apologetic, like, you've taken a lot of credit for my work, and so I just felt like I had earned this one. I'm like, girl, fuck this dude.
Okay.
Yeah. Walk away from Pierre
and
never
like,
return.
I can't take credit for your work. I will move my shit out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn, Pierre. All
I can't
right,
build
man.
My career off your hard work. Well, then fuck you.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, so Kidder gets on the train. She meets Daniel on the train. And then a robber enters, stealing a briefcase before another man in a trench coat and glasses shoots the robber?
Yeah, I was too confused. Like, this whole scene confused me because can you fucking flip around seats on a train to turn the other way? Like, is this a known thing that I just learned in this movie that if a seat, like a two-seater is facing one direction, you can like turn them around to face the other way? Is this a thing? Is this a Canada thing, Jessica? Like, can like is that what happens?
No.
she's taking. I don't even know if it's a Canadian train because she's taking it from Montreal to New York, but. I guess the departure is from Canada. But the other thing you can do is you can also pull the brake and stop the entire train.
Oh,
correct.
Early favorite scene. I was like, I want to ride this train. We're not going to sit at any point and be like, screech, we stop here.
No, that you can. Actually, the idea is you would release that car from the rest of the train.
You pull the pin, right?
Yeah, you pull the pin.
Dang.
That's not what they do. They stop the entire train is what they do from that.
Right, which I think you actually can. But I
like
had never seen the flipping.
A passenger, though.
Well, if there's an emergency, I mean, the conductor is not going to know what's happening like three cars down or whatever. Five
sure,
cars.
Sure, sure.
So they do have that ability to do that. Sorry
it
for
feels like
bringing boring facts to the podcast.
No, it's great, Mark. Thanks a lot. It's fun to learn. Fucking Peter Proud, motherfucker. Am I right? Probably fucking loved reading that book.
He was like, shit, yeah, we're reading Peter Proud?
Yeah.
God, I can't wait. It also seems like the only real thing that, you know, that you need in order to pull this break is just be tall enough to reach it. And that's it. There's no other barrier.
Adults only.
No, we're not going to put it low for the kids. Just got to put it a little higher. So they shoot the robber. I don't know what's happening. They pull the brake and they both run off the train after the shooter for some reason. Like, who are you? You're suddenly like, let's get that guy. Like, you're a lady banker and he's
action a reporter. News.
Action news, but apparently off? I don't know. On assignment? On vacation?
Well, he was going on vacation. Know.
Yeah, on being forced into vacation.
Yeah.
And he's got to go where the news is. So he's immediately running outside. The best part is that the ticket taker on the train, he says like, well, I'll keep the train stopped as long as I can. And then they immediately pull away.
Immediately.
Well, a freight train's coming. They got to get out of the way. A freight train's coming.
Be my favorite. I want to pull that on someone. I'd be like, I'll wait as long as I can. As soon as they get out of the car, I'm just driving off. Being like, told you I'd wait as long as I could. And then I said, fucking no.
I didn't say that as long as I can wait was going to be long.
Yeah.
It's just as long as I can wait, which... Yeah. And this instance was not long. It was very short.
One thing that I'll give them credit for is when they get out of the train, they are in the woods. They're out in a very rural area
of Montreal.
And there's no light.
Yeah.
No. So little light that it's very hard to understand what might be happening. Mm-hmm. This is a
wait till you watch it on like a muddy VHS copy. You'll really be confused then.
It was really amazing how little light they put on these characters as they're trying to do basically set up the whole plot, and you don't know what the fuck is happening.
Nope. They do find the shooters, so good for them. Success. The one in glasses kills the other one as the train comes by, and they're each on separate sides of the track, so they're seeing this from under the train almost. Then they chase after the train, and the man in glasses starts running along the top of the train, shooting at them.
Dude is incredible.
I mean, yeah, amazing stuff. And then the cops arrive, and he's like, ooh, well, I should stop. Which I was like, well, we're in Canada. This makes sense. They're like, I should... It's the police. I should stop my nonsense and immediately halt.
I should be in the train, not on top of the train.
Yeah, they're right. They're right.
I'm riding the train the wrong way.
I should stop this. Mm-hmm. I'm re-examining my life just by hearing that sound. I'm learning the error of my ways.
Yeah, I'm up here standing on the top of the train, which is wrong. I'm wielding a gun.
Also wrong. Not correct. This is not good.
I'm wrong. I'm going to go back in.
Unless we're wrong. If we're totally wrong here, Jess, you tell us.
Not at all.
Canadian trains, the seats flip and you ride on the top, not inside.
Seriously.
You can take that option. They just shoot up to the roof.
Yeah.
Just make sure you wear your seatbelt and just enjoy the wind.
It's open air seating. You get to enjoy the fresh air. Why not? You know?
Coincidentally, a train ride from Montreal to New York, if she's going to New York City, which I assume she is, I looked it up. I was like, is it not far? I imagine that would be far. And I looked it up and it is far. That is a long ride. It's like an 8-hour train ride.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 8 hours?
Yeah, it's a long ride.
She could have just been going to, Rochester.
Right. Just top of New York.
Could have been simple.
Yeah.
You know?
Just conducting some business for trains. Mickey dutifully checks in with her work about missing her train. Her boss says he'll fly Pierre down in the company jet. Just like, Jesus. Like, so heartless. The banking industry is tough, guys.
Yeah.
That's what I'm learning. Banking industry is vast in what they do and try to accomplish, and also tough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but remember, she could have taken a plane, but... Because she's dealing with trains.
That's right. You can't sell trains.
That makes for a good business case.
Right, right. And we all know, when you're a banker, you got to be able to sell trains.
Shit, and all this? And at this point, we're only, 8 minutes into this movie? And all this?
There's a lot.
Who's keeping
track?
There's
so much happening.
Who could keep track of all of this?
Are you guys keeping track?
At this point in the movie, I naively still thought, like, oh, keeping track. I get it. The trains. I was like, this is going to be a real through line.
You're sitting there with your arms crossed, your chin resting on your hand, like, keeping track. I'm with you.
Yeah.
A lot happens in the first half hour of this movie, and then the movie goes, well, let's take our time now. The next morning, Daniel drives Mickey back, and he stops by to pick up the suitcase of money. What turns out to be money, $5 million in the suitcase. He just goes back to the scene of the crime, picks it up, and is just like, whoa, in his Beetle. I knew you were excited about that car, Mark.
Super Beetle.
So what was the difference between the Beetle and a Super Beetle?
In the Super Beetle, in the 1970s, they put McPherson struts on the front. They put a 1600cc engine in it, and it had more of a pronounced dash. And unfortunately, the McPherson struts, which was a superior like suspension system for the front, it caused wobbling in the front because a McPherson strut requires some weight to push down on it, and it made the front suspension always a little wobbly, but it was like a faster version of the Beetle, and it was a little bit nicer on the interior. I had a Super Beetle at one point in time, and it did wobble a lot, and you needed to put like a sort of like a toolbox or something in the front trunk to try to weigh it down a little bit to get it to be a little more stable. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were like, you have to put a toolbox on top of the car, but unfortunately it will fall off as you drive it. You have to drive a certain way so the toolbox stays on the car.
Or you just put a briefcase full of money in the front.
There you go.
Down.
But she holds on to it in the back.
Because that front trunk is not very roomy. It really isn't. You have a gas tank in the front of the car, which, you know, from a safety standpoint, doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense. But at the time, that's what she did.
Yeah. And so he drives her back to town in Montreal to a very plain and, I mean, I guess there's some cobblestone streets. I was like, okay, well, we're not in New York, that's for sure. But it felt like still we didn't see the majesty of Montreal, right, Jess?
We did not. I'm still disappointed about it. This is hard. Yeah.
I don't blame you. And then he goes back to his place and he finds a guy is in his apartment cutting up his mattress.
Yes.
Well, looking for that tag. You know, if you don't have that tag, that's a federal offense, right?
And that's what happened. When they don't find the tag, they then slice your mattress
like,
in two.
What?
That's what they do.
It took me such a long time to get. Oh, man. That took me 3 to 5 business days to understand
also,
that joke.
Also, this guy drives a 1970 Super Beetle, but also owns a yacht?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Well, a fixer-upper yacht.
Like, and had what seemed to be like a cool apartment.
It's true. Yes. It's true.
It seemed like he had a cool apartment, too. There was a drum set in there, from what it seemed like, had been tossed around.
He's, like, the coolest news anchor.
He also lives above a restaurant bar, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
chicken fingers anytime you want.
Oh. You're just jamming out. Just imagine, you're like, boom, 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 boom. I need some fucking mozzarella sticks. What am I doing up here? Sacre Blue. I'm going to go downstairs to the cafe. Get myself some more fromage sticks. You know what I mean? Shit.
Yo, dude, can I get a beer, s'il vous plaît?
Yeah. Give me some fucking fromage sticks and a beer. I'm up here.
I said, can I get some loaded pomme de terre skins, please? It's a potato. That's what we call them.
Jess,
Montreal,
did you learn French,
right?
What? Did you learn French when you were little?
No, it's incroyable, une disgrace. Yes. No. I took French for a million years in the South, where I was raised in Atlanta, Georgia, and it would drive my mom crazy because every one of my teachers was super Southern. So years of French, and anytime I try to speak it in Montreal, well, not in Montreal, they'll just be rude to answer you back in French. In Gay Paris, they will just say, do you want cream in your coffee? They'll answer you in English. Like, they appreciate you trying, but they're like, let's not play games here.
Yeah.
Whereas
Erica, I took Erica to Paris, and she would like speak in French, and they would just go, oh, do you speak English? And we were like, yes. And they're like, okay, what do you need? They were just like, no.
Yes.
Let's not try this. Also wish that I would have been like, no. And then I'd be like, yeah, like
you do though. You do though, right?
Because you don't speak French, that's for sure.
Yes. They'll at least, first of all, so many of them speak English and they will just answer you back, right? But honestly, it is kind of insulting sometimes.
Yeah.
The Quebecois can be a bit, snooty. And I have asked someone in English, I'm sorry, at a gas station, assuming you speak English in a bilingual country. And I was answered with, je ne parle pas anglais.
Ooh.
I don't speak English. I'm like, okay, thank you.
That happened to me once. When I was living in Amsterdam and I went to the train station to get a ticket, and I'd always start with like a little, hi, how are you? Like a little something just to say hello,
sure.
Just to get their minds to go, you speak English. Okay, cool. Let me switch that on, you know?
Yep.
So I did that. And then they were unreceptive. And then they were like, I was like, yeah, I need to get a train ticket to go here. And they just started speaking back to me in Dutch. And they clearly understood me because I was speaking only in English, but they would respond in Dutch. And I luckily had just been there long enough to I kind of knew what they were telling me, but sure. It was like, we were truly doing that Han Solo back and forth where it was we understand each other, but we just simply refuse to speak each other's language. Me, because I just don't know it. And you, because you're just, and I'm like, I'm at the train station. It's not like I live there. Yeah, you have a local business in a neighborhood, and here's this American coming in there. It was like, this is the train station. I mean, lots of people are going to come in here and don't speak Dutch. Yes. I mean, that's just the nature of the job. But they were just like, they just in that moment were like, no, I'm not going to speak English.
Nope.
Not exactly. Now. Not for this transaction. Good luck to you, sir. And I don't know what I did. I was trying to be nothing but nice. I don't know.
It's infuriating.
Yeah,
are we still talking about keeping track?
Nope.
Mark's like, these personal stories are boring. Get back to the movie.
Actually, this is what the movie's like. Actually,
talk about this confusing movie.
Actually, I'm cool if we just keep going on this thread.
This is what the movie's like.
It is. It has a lot of like
taking all these detours.
They basically have their apartments both get broken into. They basically end up together,
in
even
a
though
hotel
like Mickey's
room.
In a hotel room, yes. And that's when they're in a hotel room. She's not like buying into him. She doesn't like him. She's always like, I don't trust you, which is like, after all you've been through, you guys saw a murder together. You might as well, you share something pretty unique. You might as well, but she
Ryan's
won't.
So trusting. That's what brought us together. Just a brutal murder. Honestly, no one tell him the truth.
It was a murder. It wasn't brutal. Don't oversell it.
Is there a non-brutal murder that you can report to me quickly? I'm not sure.
Somebody did it like softly,
respectfully,
and
demure murder.
There's a lot of shh. It's okay.
It was a very bespoke murder.
It's okay. This is the way it was supposed to be.
Oh, it is, Mark. That's the Saving Private Ryan. Yeah, that was a crazy scene. Oh. Even that seems brutal in a different way.
Saving Private Ryan? Fucking Peter Proud, motherfucker. I'm not reading Saving Private Ryan, dog. Not. Even if it's not a book, I'm not reading it. I'm not watching it. Not listening to the fucking audio of it. Fuck
that would
it.
Be awesome if an English teacher was like, we are going to read the novelization of Saving Private Ryan.
Would have preferred the novelization of Friday 13th Part 3. But
I read it. You owned it.
Yeah,
I read it.
Yeah. But what's funny is before this, they're in Hawkins' apartment. It gets torn up. She says, can we talk? And then they leave and go to her apartment, which I know we're not on final questions, but do you think that her apartment is just next door to his apartment?
Right.
Or it's a double, it's a double final question. Or did they get in a car and he kept being like, so anyway, like the thing you want to talk to me about? And she's like, not now. And he's like, but I mean, we could talk about it right now. Not now. Until they got to her apartment.
Right.
To where she could ask like the question. And
it would have been awesome if they were just happened to be people that lived across the street from one another. And they just never really run into each other until they got in the same train.
So is that the...
But maybe Montreal is that kind of town where you can just kind of run
exactly. into... Exactly. Next final question. Is Montreal the kind of town that everyone lives within a block of each other and they can just like saunter to their
Je
neighbor's house?
Je ne comprends pas ces questions. No, Montreal is a city with... you know, in Canada, we like to call it semi-detached. In America, you like to call it a duplex. So, yes, we have a lot of shared wall. In New England, they call it multi-family? I don't know where I'm going with this.
Like a townhouse.
Right.
Townhouse.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of appartements à louer for rent.
Ooh.
I like that your French translations are a little bitter. They're just a little, you're like, all right.
They're matter of fact.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I know we're not at final questions yet, but I also noticed when we were in one part of this movie, there's like Christmas music playing. So is this a Christmas movie?
100%. It's a Christmas movie because when they go to the mall, which I'm sure Ryan, you're going to get to.
We're there. We're here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the order that we talk about this movie. It's not like it's going to make any sense.
It's also a rom-com, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. It's also times trying to be a comedy for August.
It does try to be funny.
I don't think Vidtober's the right month for this complicated film. It could be Deathcember.
It could fit it could fit anywhere.
August? Sextember? There's some sex in this.
Well,
go to a strip club.
There's a little bit. Hot-tober. There's a little bit.
Hot-tober. Okay.
Jez is naming next year's October. Hot-tober.
Really, I have a final question for you. What?
Oh.
What says sexy, and he was shot down. You tell me what is sexier than a man laying in repose in a hotel room in a Montreal Canadiens hockey jersey. Am I right? Well, guess what? She slept in a trench coat. Okay, she clearly is not interested. All right,
but she got hot and bothered first. She was like, are we sleeping in the same bed? Because, I don't know if I can control myself.
I feel like she was slipping into something more comfortable. And then the minute he said, I'm going to turn around, she threw the coat back on and leapt into bed. Like, we were almost there. We were almost there. And then all bets are off.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I don't get down until we are in the home of the woman who helped raise me, who is a drunk.
Yeah. My taunt. My drunk taunt.
She was putting on a negligee. Which, by the way, we're not in final questions. Why would you not go into the bathroom and change your clothes? Why would you have to get behind the one door of armoire? And then change your clothes.
Yeah. That's what I didn't. I know we're not a things we love, things we hated. But I had
Just jump around. It doesn't matter. It's not like it's going to make any sense.
Keep track. I know we're not on Things We Love, Things We Hated, but that was my love. I had a real love-hate relationship with the comedy, air quotes, in this movie. Because it was like, this is an espionage, like, thriller mystery with also, like, the dumbest comedy.
But also, he's a goof.
Yeah.
He's like, he's a news anchor on vacation. I'm gonna goof.
Yeah, he's a goof. But then also, her whole thing about, like, I just stuff fries in my mouth while I'm talking was like, what? I don't. And then at one point, he playfully calls her, like, a clumsy bitch. And I'm like, is this supposed to be funny? I don't understand what's happening.
And they called her a bitch playful? For the second time. The second time.
It had the piss and vinegar of Dabney Coleman in 9 to 5. Like,
yeah. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. This just in action news. You're a dick.
Like, clumsy.
The prompter.
Also, there's a scene, the one that where we're at that mall where it had, that has the Christmas Santa. There's a scene where they are surrounded by all of the bad guys.
Yeah.
They have surrounded them.
Yeah.
Now.
The most awkward shakedown ever.
But this could be a very tense moment. Like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. They are around us. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why they're not going to kill us is because we're in a public mall.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay. Okay. We have to stay surrounded by other people. And then we'll stay alive. Mm-hmm. But yet they call in the news crew to come in and distract them. And it's kind of made like a comedy scene. To your point, yeah. Erica. It's like for yucks. Like, haha, we'll get out of this. No big deal. Ha ha. What? But the way you set up the scene should be super intense. And yet you made it like this sort of like.
Because that's the first time you realize how many people are in on it. And that know about them and are targeting them. So you're like, oh, shit. Right. Like, there's it's a like lot
people
of...
that are bent on killing you are not going to be distracted by one interviewer and two camera guys that come in from the news team.
Right.
And yet they get away. Which also makes me believe that this movie sets up a premise where getting away from the CIA or the KGB or the Ministry of...
RCMP.
RCMP.
Excuse me, sir. The Directeur de l'État Civil. I have the document right here.
Right. So, getting away from them, the cabinet minister even, isn't that hard.
Yeah.
Just give them a halfway decent distraction. And you're on your way.
They escape easily the entire time. And they have to escape, as you've mentioned, Mark, they have to run all the time. They're escaping constantly. And yeah, it undercuts the tension because there's a point where they both have gone off solo. And he decides, I'm going to like pretend to be the driver of the guy who runs the bank, the bank president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she goes to a bank branch.
Royce. His name is Royce.
Royal.
Royal? Yeah. Is it Royal?
Royal.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm trying to remember his last name.
It's like Royal Winstead or something like that.
But he goes off and drives a limo trying to shake down the bank manager. And then she goes to the bank branch to try to run some numbers. They both get caught. They both make the news. And as she's like, oh, crap, we're on the news. He's, again, in repose, laying on the bed, and she's like, we should go. And he's like, oh, yeah. And the urgency is at a one at best. I'm giving them credit. There's they should be like, fuck, we're screwed. And never once. It was like, I don't know. Let's run to the next place.
Yeah.
Hold on, Ryan. She goes to another bank branch, and she's looking up information about these accounts and where is the money coming from.
Sure.
And then at some point, it's like, this information isn't available to you. Also, she's typing as though ChatGPT existed in 1985, right?
Right.
She was schooled at MIT, Mark.
The bank. She knows everything about computers. Mark, you don't know. She knows a lot about computers, okay? So I understand you don't know, but she knows a lot.
I don't know shit, and I get it. I get
you,
that.
You haven't worked in computers your whole career, Mark. What do you know?
You went to a DOS course.
Yeah, totally. I mean, she knows... I never was good at WordPerfect. She's got it down. She's typing with green on a black background.
In the middle of the bank.
She's typing on green on a black background. Microsoft Word came out in 1983. By 1988 or 1986, when this came out, WordPerfect 5.0 was the most popular word processing platform, mm-hmm. which still would have been white words on a blue background. Yeah. So I don't know what crunched the it. Fuck she's typing on right
he
now.
Crunched it.
Crunched it. Also, Mark, this was shot in 85, so this
doesn't matter.
Wouldn't even
you still would have had WordPerfect at that time.
More to your point,
blue, white text on blue. But I digress.
We haven't had a crunch this hard in a while.
But if you're at one of your offices, branch offices, and you're looking up information, no one knows who you are, and they say, "We need the password." Are you going to put in your own
thank
password?
You. Thank you. No. No, you don't. She felt so at home because that other lady came by with like a fresh cup of hot coffee. And she was like, you're working hard at another branch that you don't even work at. Here's some coffee. You deserve it. And she was like, I feel so comfortable here. I'll type in my own password. I'm like, what are you doing? You're trying to do espionage. Why would you put in your own code?
Because she thought she was back at the Daily Planet. That's why.
Yeah. And you always have to use your own code at the Daily Planet. What the yeah. hell else are you going to do? All right. We have to go to this clip because I made it. And so and this is them in the hotel room. And this is when Hawkins drops a real bomb. And not that kind of bomb in the bathroom, but an other bomb.
You know, I never thought that you stole that money. And, you know, the first time I met you on the train, mm-hmm. when I pretended that I didn't know who you were, well, I have to admit, this is really embarrassing. I have to admit, I'd seen you on TV hundreds of times.
Well, I have to admit something to you, too. I still have the $5 million.
You what?
No, for Christ's sake.
You what?
Calm
I knew
down,
it! Your
calm.
Evidence is gonna get us killed!
Please!
You stupid
listen, can we fight about this in the morning? Please, calm down. God almighty. Just calm down. Good night. Ms. Mouse, shit.
And then they sleep.
Excuse me. What?
What? Yeah.
That scene to me.
What?
That scene tells me everything about why he's divorced. It tells you everything you need to know. He's a liar.
Right.
He doesn't like, he goes to bed angry. He's fine with that.
He's
fine
okay with it. He prefers it.
Keeps secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, doesn't want to talk things out.
She has given him no quarter this entire film. And then he drops that bomb on her and she's like, what? And he's like, tomorrow. And she goes, fair enough.
Yeah.
No, wait, what? Why?
That motherfucker. If I'm about to go to sleep and
yeah,
you drop that on me, I'm not going to be like, oh, silly you, snooze. I'm going to be like, you son of a bitch. I was seconds away from sleep.
We have to figure this out now.
That's it. My slippers are getting off. I'm putting my slippers on, you motherfucker.
My business slips.
I'm ready to do some algorithms. Oh, God. You're in trouble now, sir. I'm doing a simulation. You're in trouble now, sir. You are in trouble.
And they do try to take that money and then hide it in a safe deposit box. But that fucking Pierre.
Fucking Pierre. Point, counterpoint. This is a new segment. Point, counterpoint. It won't happen often. Point, counterpoint. She did tell Pierre when he catches her locking up the suitcase to not say anything, and he's like, I have to, and she's like, if you're my friend, you won't say anything. So then later, when given the chance to clear her name,
He don't.
He doesn't, because she asked him to not say anything, and she's giving him a look like, come on, Pierre. And I felt like he was conflicted in that moment, because he's like, we're friends now, and as friends, you made me promise I wouldn't say that I knew anything.
Oh.
So.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I don't think that's why he did it, but I hear you.
But also, point, counterpoint.
Point, counterpoint. This is a new segment. Point, counterpoint. And this is a song. Point, counterpoint. Point, counterpoint.
She did, like, the clumsiest job of loading that suitcase into a bank safe or whatever.
It was obvious she was stuffing a suitcase of money into that.
She's banging it against the sides, trying to get it in there, trying to make it so obvious.
Like, boing, 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 sound effect away from, like...
I'm sorry, I'm still back on point, counterpoint, this is the song. Those were the lyrics.
Hey, as a friend, I'm going to ask you, as a friend, if you're my friend, you're going to let it go. You're not going to bring it up again. Are we friends? Ryan Pierre?
I'm going to drop it, but that's still making me laugh.
But I'm just going to ask as a friend and a brother.
sure.
Okay. I know we're not at final questions, but...
we might as well be.
When
we're done with point counterpoint, but we're not at final questions, but I've got a final question, but we're not at final questions, but we're definitely not at point counterpoint.
When Hawkins goes into his ex-wife's house and goes under the table and steals presumably
that's my favorite scene. That's my favorite scene.
Yeah.
How long after he left did her guest say, what the fuck was that about?
Who has all of their, like, my emergency money? Let me create a secret compartment in my dining room table.
Smart, I thought. Nobody's slicing that up. Nobody's
That's a point counterpoint question. That's a
point counterpoint. I never thought we'd come back, but we're back. It's point counterpoint. I thought it would just be a one-off thing, but we're back. Point, counterpoint.
Oh, man. They got their car repainted at some point.
Wait, that's not the point counterpoint.
Oh, I'm moving on.
Point counterpointing keeping money under a table versus under the mattress. I think it's safer under the table.
Well, definitely don't put it in a mattress. That's just too... But I just...
You're supposed to hide money behind a painting.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Thank you.
I felt like... To your point, counterpoint, Mark, I felt like when he left, they all went back to the table and no one said anything about it. Until the end, I feel like some brave soul was like, this was a really delicious dinner. Cool table bank. Good night. Like, that's all that was said.
Right.
It's just like, they all scooted back up to the table and were like, I guess we're not going to, like, mess with... Was her name Bunny? I don't know. I can't keep track, but yeah.
That's what the movie is about.
Or one of them was like, you know, I always liked Hawkins.
Yes, I miss Hawkins. They were like, I miss Hawkins.
His name is not Bunny. Her name was Betty.
I was close.
You're very close.
when we remake it as Keep Trackin'.
In the remake. Yeah. Oh, God.
Mixed up the German.
Yes. Yes.
My name is Bunny, and this is not funny. If you come to my house, then I will take your money.
Yes!
Oh, my God.
Oh, can I please play the role of the aunt that just gets all the Sunday Mickeys?
My tante.
Oh, as I was saying, they get their car repainted, and they don't wait for...
Are we still talking about this movie?
Well, they get Pierre's car repainted.
They get Pierre's car. They steal Pierre's car. They get it repainted.
Flip a car into a taxi cab.
Which also just brings to the point they have someone who... They know a guy who runs a chop shop.
Yeah.
Right. And she knows how to she knows how to ride a motorcycle and jump start it. So, you know, that she's got a background. Hotwire, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. But Mark, I know we're not at final questions, but when they painted the car and then drove off before it could set, was that difficult for you?
He's taking a moment of silence for that paint job.
The pause says a lot. Yeah.
There's going to be so much stuff stuck to it. It's going to ripple depending on how fast they're driving. You know, I didn't crunch the numbers on this, but I think that was such a bad job. And even take all the newspaper out of the windows. How are they safely driving?
Yeah.
It very much bothered me. yes.
Yes. Yeah. My thing about the paint job was, why were they doing it exactly? I mean, I know they're stealing Pierre's car, so I guess to not have people know that it's Pierre's car, but like, you still have newspaper flying off the sides. You immediately go to a scene of a crime. You see the guy in the glasses again. He runs after him. He shoots it. Now you have bullet holes in the car. There's nothing conspicuous about this car. Like, if you were like, well, let's get it repainted so they'll never know we stole this car, they maybe won't notice that it's a stolen car, but they're definitely going to notice this car. This car stands out. Yep. So what are we doing?
Yep.
And now it has bullet holes. I'm like, what was the point of that? That was worthless. Whatever you were trying to do.
And I couldn't see. She does, spoiler alert, return the car to Pierre, but I couldn't tell in my 1.5 viewings what is written on the back. There's something written on the back window. Could anyone see that? I couldn't.
Well, I guess my question for Jessica is, are Montreal cabs all BMWs?
No, not a one.
Oh. Oh. So that would be the first dead ringer for me.
All of the taxis are Peugeot, made en France.
Oh, la la.
I hope that's true. Is that fact?
Comme si, comme ça. Chapeau gâteau, on va à la plage.
I think it's important, conspiracy, and you guys are on the run. I think it's important to split up. And we talked about this already, but I think it was hilarious.
This is good for me to know. I feel like this is valuable information for me to know. If I'm ever wrapped up in an espionage with you, we're going to split up. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, that part where they're just like, I'm going to go do my thing, you do your thing. I was like, what is happening? What is happening? It proved worthless because they all got figured out. As I mentioned, they get on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Leads to more chasing. So Mickey ends up going to this restaurant to spy on a conversation. Mm-hmm. With the dead guy's partner? Am I following? Am I keeping track?
Yeah. Am I keeping track? That seems like something that's very important, but yet is glossed over again with like a silly, like the coffee comes and she's like, coffee.
And she's sitting 1 foot away from them.
Yep,
and yet they don't recognize her.
I've avoided telling you what I'm selling. You wouldn't understand the significance of it. But what I'm delivering can influence the outcome of the whole world.
You're just as modest as you were 7 years ago.
Dr. Carlyle and I combine the principles of biotechnology and genetic engineering to fabricate a VLSI
colloidal chip. A computer. Organic intelligence.
The world's first cyborg.
But can you reproduce it?
It was my ideas that created a power that can make the human race a footnote in history.
This scene comes in 75 minutes into this movie.
75 minutes!
We have not been dealing with this chip. This is from a separate film, and this is how you start that film.
Yes.
With this scene. you don't put it in 75 minutes in and go, hey, how about this chip also?
We begged for it after the 30-second intro of the voice telling us that AI would take over humanity.
Right. And then we had 74 and a half minutes to be like, I forgot about it. And now it's back. And guess what? That tiny footnote and a montage of news items is significant after all.
That's right.
Who knew?
But here's the thing that they don't do is that, okay, that sounds incredibly ominous, and it should be. But they don't invest any time into understanding why would someone create this chip. Now, right. He's saying this is going to lead to the end of humanity, which includes him. Mm-hmm. So
right.
What is his end game? Like, yeah. You need to have he needed to have been a part of the plot early on in the movie to say, I've created this thing and I have an exit strategy that's going to get me out of whatever this thing is going to do to the world. And I'm going to own the world. I'm going to be the king of the world. It's going to destroy everything. And then I will rule the whole earth. Mm-hmm. But they don't do that. But based upon this one scene, all he's saying is, I create a chip that's going to destroy you and you and you and you and me. How awesome.
Give me money. It'll destroy all of us. I want to be paid for it.
But to what end?
Right. What are they going to do with it?
To what end?
Do they use it? Do they not use it?
If they use it, what's their end game?
Also, it has nothing to do with the $5 million. It has nothing to do with why they're on the run. It has honestly nothing to do with the transit line that the bank is now starting. What does it have to do with this movie?
It sounds like somebody's keeping track of things we loved. And things we hated. Am I right, guys?
Yes, we're going to talk about the things we love and things we hate about keeping track. Mark, what did you love?
A thing I loved is that you don't have to try every movie. Look, one of our favorite movies is Fletch. And in Fletch, Chevy Chase puts on a myriad of disguises that are, they're all silly, but they're still disguises. And what this movie says is, you don't have to try that hard to disguise yourself from the enemy. Put on a hat, maybe a raincoat.
And some sunglasses.
Yeah.
Good enough. No one will recognize you.
Yeah. You dress up in a child's version of what an adult wears. And if you can do that, unrecognizable. No one will know who you are.
And quite frankly, I'm down. I think more movies need to just say, in a social media world where we are mostly on our phones, you don't have to disguise yourself that hard to do bad things.
Sure.
Because most people are just looking at their phone like this in public spaces. And they don't know who you are. And me, as a bald guy, all I've got to do, Eric, where did Erica go? Is Erica still, is she,
just
did
she leave? Just put my pants around her head.
Is she?
I don't know who this person is sitting next to me.
Hey guys, anyone seen Erica?
Oh God, Erica. Oh my God.
It's Jordy. It's Jordy from Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Me, Jordy. Anybody seen Erica? I'm just looking for Erica. Just let me know if you've seen her. Guys, it's me. Voila.
Whoa, oh my God.
Voila.
Oh,
sacre holy shit. Voila.
Voila.
Yeah, it is. What's lovely about this movie is that disguises are not that. They don't have to be complicated. I agree. Jess, what did you love about this movie?
What didn't I love? I think my favorite part of the movie was that I wish I had as many men throwing themselves at me as Margot Kidder did in this film, and she was not having it. Okay?
Yeah.
From not having to take that train and just maybe giving a little happy ending in that limo at the top of the film.
Mm-hmm.
She was not interested. Canadian hockey player in repose, not interested, right? She had a lot of chances, and she stuck to her guns. And she was worried about returning that money to its rightful owner if she wasn't going to be able to have it. So that was what I loved about the movie.
Yeah. The world tempted her, and she said, not today, Satan.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not today.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Erica, what did you love?
I touched on earlier, I loved / hated the smatterings of comedy. It was confusing. I still don't know how I feel about it. But the more I thought about it, one thing that I really loved was towards the end, and this is a bit of a spoiler if anybody wants to tune out and watch this wild film.
You won't remember it. It'll confuse you. You'll forget it's on wild. This bumpy ride.
But they tell the RCMP, I believe that's his role, that they have copies of the news reel or the broadcast mm-hmm. that they intend to put out about this.
Right.
They tell him that they have copies. And then he's like, so about these copies? And they're like, yeah, we were lying. We don't have them. And I'm like, what? What? Like, what? That he what? That was your leverage. That was everything. And they're just like, yeah, we're just, you caught us. They gave up so quickly.
So fast.
They're like, they've put together this whole news doc. And also, why don't they have a fucking copy?
Why don't you?
You made this whole thing. You put this whole production together. You did, your lives were in danger. All of this. And you're like, yeah, actually, we never made a copy. You're in fucking Action News, dog. You didn't make a copy?
Yeah.
She's a bank lady. We know this from Letterboxd. Mm-hmm. But you are a part of Action News. You didn't make
back
a
that
copy?
Shit up. Back that shit up.
Oh, my God.
I agree.
I love that. That was actually something I loved.
Yes. No, you loved that moment. I get it.
It feels like something that you hated. But...
Nope, I loved it.
Okay, well.
Because at the end, after all this, they're still terrible at this. They're still terrible at espionage. They're still two of probably the worst people at this.
There's two things that I've been flip-flopping around, my favorite scene or something I love. So I will just continue with what you're talking about because something else that I loved about this movie was then out of this scene when they have given up their leverage, they're like, you two are pretty good. So you know what we're going to have you do? This is not something they actually say in this movie. I'm just wanting people to know. But they're like, you should actually go on this sting and bring in this guy who created this chip
mm-hmm.
and deliver him the money and then we'll get him. And so they do. And that's how this movie ends. Mm-hmm. It's the final moment of this movie.
They fail up.
And they go, oh, yeah, we caught you. You didn't release the story. But also, help us one more time bringing this. There's no reason on earth they should be the ones to bring this guy in. No reason at all. And then they take the chip and they destroy it on the train tracks. But we also don't know if anyone, as Mark was saying, will be using it for anything? What would they use it for? Who wants it? Why did they want? Why do we care about this moment? And it's how it ends. And then they walk away from this nighttime train station with the train and the close-up on the broken chip. And we're like, well done. And I'm like, I love this. What? How did you think this was a note we were all going to high-five each other about? Like, kick ass. Nicely done, Margot mm-hmm. Kidder and Michael Sarrazin. Like, I loved it because I was like, this is not a moment we should be experiencing. This is another movie. This is another movie.
Yeah.
Mixed with like Casablanca or something. And it doesn't mm-hmm. belong here. And I loved it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's switch to things we hated. Mark, what did you hate?
I hated that at the very beginning of the movie, for people who have not watched this movie, people have made fun of him through the entire movie for always being sensationalist and not actually having a real like story. And he's always like, no, but I found this story. But they always are like, no, that's not really, that didn't really happen. So finally, he has this great story. And he broadcasts it. He has audio recordings, video recordings, pictures that he's been taking through this entire movie that pieces together this whole story of espionage and, you know, CIA and KGB and this bank in Montreal and how they're involved. But none of that is as impactful as the final broadcast of The Howling.
That's where hard-hitting journalism really hit hard.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really revealed something.
Wow.
In a big way.
In a big way. Oh, man. Jess, what did you hate?
What did I hate? I think I hate that by the end they proved my theory true and that they thought they were going to be the next Romancing the Stone. And I say this in particular by the final two lines of the movie when he says to her, "How about a week on my boat?" And she says, "Excuse me. How about a week on my yacht?" I think he says.
Yes, yes,
she says, "How about a month?" And I stupidly expected a really strong saxophone solo to bust out. And to see her get on that sailboat and watch it drive down the street as the credits rolled. And I didn't get that. Yeah. No, I got a faded purple screen with some unknown music and some very long credits.
Yeah, you got, hey, they destroyed the chip that we didn't care about the entire film.
Yeah.
Correct. I was real upset.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Erica, what did you hate?
I hated that their involvement in all of this meant that a man's career was destroyed. Like the agent with the glasses who we find out at the end is been in like an informant. He has like infiltrated the KGB.
Oh yeah. 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 The guy with glasses.
Yeah.
They basically destroyed his life's work. I mean, it took him years. He trained for that and he got in there and he infiltrated it and they fucking ruined it. He should have shot them when he was running up on the top of that train because they were ruining his career. Hated that for him. He can't go back now.
No.
I can only say the thing I hated was just there is too much happening.
Yes.
Don't have this much. You don't need this much.
Mm-hmm. Keeping track is accurate. You're going to want to try to do that when you're
luck
watching this.
Keeping track.
Good luck.
With keeping track.
It's a lot.
Because it is too hard. It really had me in the first half hour. I was really on board. And I don't think I hate this movie, but I'm confused by it. There's just too much going on. Take a couple things out. Just streamline this thing. Mm-hmm. There's too much going on.
Hating this movie is like hating a middle school child. There's too much. There's too much going on. There's a lot happening.
Really specific to our life.
What do you mean? As a friend, I'm going to ask that you don't mention our lives. Are you my friend? I'm asking you as a friend and not just don't mention it.
Oh, but let's go to our favorite scene. Mark, what was your favorite scene?
Well, my favorite scene was really the scene at the mall where the news crew somehow stops a team of killers who are trying to kill Claire and Hawkins.
Yeah. In a mall. The guy's like, there's too much people. It's like, it's a mall.
I don't speak English, and so you can't interview me. But I will also say, the scene in which Hawkins calls the cabinet minister and calling him Mr. Minister.
Yep.
And I kept waiting for an Arrested Development moment where he just kept saying, where he keeps responding, "It's just Minister. It's just Minister."
Yeah. That's the shirt, right? Yeah. Mr. Minister.
Mr. That's Minister. Yeah, that is good. Jess, what was your favorite scene?
I mean, I think this won't come as a surprise. Definitely the hotel room. You know, I keep going back to her sleeping in the trench coat. You know,
it is something
so close yet so far away. I still can't quite figure it out, and I'm going to think about it when I go to sleep tonight.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If you are going to sleep on the top of a hotel bedspread, wouldn't you like a red trench coat to be surrounding you as a buffer zone to what could potentially be on that hotel bedspread?
You know, I hate that you make an excellent point. I think the difference is, no matter how horrific the hotel room might be, nothing could be worse than that bedspread. So
that's the first thing that you do in a hotel room is take the bedspread off, right?
My father, I tear it off like a magician does a tablecloth. It's off and it's thrown in a ball in the corner the second I enter a room.
Forget the sheets themselves, which who knows the how clean they could possibly be. That bedspread is a nightmare scenario. We have to throw that into the corner.
At least tell you guys,
the sheets at Rybusters are not clean.
No.
If you get lured into the bedroom at Rybusters, just know the sheets are not clean.
Rybusters.
Like the back room of a lot of video stores.
Yeah.
The bed is not clean.
And dogs are allowed on the bed too, so just know that if you're allergic.
Oh. Erica, what was your favorite scene?
Oh, thanks for asking. My favorite scene, I already mentioned it, was dinner party. Bunny's dinner party.
Sure.
Where we find out she keeps money under the table. Loved it.
In a scene that also doesn't matter because he doesn't have money, and so they get money, but they don't need the money. They don't need the money for anything.
All you learn is that she pays him a $2,000 alimony payment.
Right.
Yeah. He like scoffs at it.
And she's super rich, and she's like, oh, you married her for her money, which is like, well, yeah,
he obviously did. She's like, you married her for money. Yeah. And he doesn't even
come back at her with anything. Yeah. He's like, well, I did. My favorite scene would then be the following scene, which is them going to a strip bar to get his cameraman to work with them.
Yes.
Oh,
who they
yeah.
don't even need to. There's no need for the scene other than you get the briefest of nudities. It's a strip club where women do get naked. Mm-hmm. But they show you their backs.
Yeah, you get some.
You
buns.
Have to cut.
It's some nice buns.
You're gonna get the back. You're gonna get some side boob. It depends on how they move a little bit. And then, but they get it. They get him, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't want to help you guys." They're like, "Well, we're gonna die if you don't. So you're gonna help us." And he's like, "All right." And I'm like, "What? Why did we need this scene?"
They literally say to him, like, we will end up in a gutter tomorrow morning. And I'm just like, Jesus. Or you can just take that fucking train to New York and do your fucking presentation.
Yep.
You know what I mean? My God.
Oh, honestly, by that point, I had given up on the plot. And I was like, I don't even know who this guy is.
Haven't seen him in so long.
But that
it was his cameraman, but you hadn't seen him in forever.
And that's another scene where they try to inject comedy. Because they're all sitting there at the table. And there's a woman there. And she's taking off her clothes. And she takes off her bottoms. And then bends over. And then you see Margot like, oh. Like, look down, and I'm like, is this supposed to be hilarious?
Yep. And she's like, can we leave? Because Margot Kidder does not like strip clubs.
Yeah.
All right. So,
that's the quote.
Let's get to final questions. let's get to final questions.
I thought we already did that.
We did.
Oh, we are at final questions?
We are now finally at final questions.
Wow.
Hear ye. Come one, come all. We are finally at final questions.
Oh, boy. What happened to final questions? This is the song.
It's not a song, Ryan. It's an announcement.
I understand. I know.
As a friend?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Please back me up on this announcement. As a friend. Are we friends? Back me up on this announcement. Friends with benefits, right, Mark? He's the owner of Rybusters. I've seen his wiener.
Here's the final question. Let's start. When a dude buys a boat, he just won't shut up about it, will he?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Nope.
It, Yeah, it's like a vegan.
Always gotta bring it up.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I got a lot of agreement there. So, Margot Kidder, we've talked about her on and off weird relationship with Pierre, but Hawkins is divorced, but is he attached? Because he kisses that woman during the before he gets on air. He gets one of the girls comes up to him and he gives her a little kiss. Now, she turns out to also be the floor director during the newscast, but if they're not dating, then are Canadian work relationships just that familial that you can be like,
yeah, that's a workplace romance.
Hey, you finally made it to work. Let's have a little kiss. A little kiss. On the mouth.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, they are. It's one of the reasons I moved back here.
All the workplace romance.
Just the workplace kisses. You just get, it's just the kisses.
That's how you know it's a job well done, when you get tongue.
Mickey jokes at one point that she learned how to hotwire in Sunday school. Now, I didn't go to a Sunday school, but for anyone that did, what's the weirdest thing you maybe learned in Sunday school or a Sunday school-like environment?
I learned how to churn butter. I brought butter home to our mom, and she was like, oh.
I don't know. Probably the weirdest thing I learned was just that, like, every single thing I was doing and thinking was a sin. So, I don't know. Huh? I guess that's pretty weird.
Apparently not hot wiring cars. So,
God, I wish. That would have been like an applicable skill.
Yeah. When did Hawkins have time to develop the film in his camera and then record those photos on video? Did I pass out at some point and miss it? Or yes.
You might have. I did. I passed out on my first viewing.
Yes, you did.
But I woke up for weird spots.
Yeah, this is not a movie you want to pass out at.
I watched probably the first 30 minutes, and then I fell asleep, and then I woke up definitely in the strip club, back asleep, woke up.
I've been there.
And I was so confused, because I'm like, wait a minute, just a minute ago we were on a train, now we're in a strip club? Like, what the
fuck? Yeah, I've been there.
It doesn't matter what scene, if you fall asleep and you wake up, and you're like, let me get back into this, you can't.
But I confidently was like,
all yeah, right. you were like, oh, I'm fine. And I was like, you can't confidently keep track of this movie while you're staying, even if you stay awake. No.
Then I woke up for all the taxi drivers coming to hold the bad guy, I guess, like, which made no sense. And then went back to sleep. And then at the end, when they're like crushing the disc, then and I was like, well, they did it.
So isn't it nice this movie wraps up at the end?
Sure.
I think the only thing that I really love at the end is the theme song. I think this qualifies as a potential nominee for Worldies at the end of the year. I mean, I think that's worth considering for the world.
That's a nominee, for sure.
Yeah,
that's a
nominee. For sure. I mean,
submit it to the committee.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. So is that in triplicate that I have to fill this out, this form?
Mark, or do you want to submit it or do you not want to submit it?
As a friend, do you want me to do this for you? Or
No, I got it.
I'm just going to take credit for my work.
No, it's fair. It's fair. I'll do it.
All right, okay. Let's get into some research. Here's our research. Keeping Track starts shooting in Montreal on October 21st, 1985, and shoots until December 18th. Shoots for a good long while.
Dang.
on a budget of $2.8 million. Not sure if that's American or Canadian.
It better be Canadian.
Yeah, because that's $2.8 million. It could go a lot further in Canada. Apparently a rough shoot because they shot towards the end of the year in December. Kidder came down with laryngitis and Sarazen came down with the flu various times. So apparently a rough shoot. The movie is entered into consideration for the 1986 Genies, which is the Canadian Oscars. But it gets no nominations. Gets nothing.
Ah.
At that point, it hadn't even really been released into theaters. Now, it gets rushed into theaters in 1987. And these are for reasons that I found in this article in the Toronto Star. And I won't summarize. I'm going to read from it because it said that the American sales agent decided the picture wasn't good enough to rank movie theater release there and sold it directly to home video.
Wow.
So
wow,
that's the American agent, which is not, as Mark was saying, it's actually Shapiro Entertainment. It's not New World at the time.
Wow.
Video retailers in Canada demand instant parity with US releases and don't have to wait for Canadian release. So New World Mutual. So what happens is actually New World has joined up with Mutual Films and they actually have their own Canadian branch where they would release movies. So they actually do release this movie, New World does, in Canada. And they were contracted for a Canadian movie theater release. So they had to very quickly put this movie out, very, very quickly dump it out into theaters. And that's why it got like all of a sudden 2 weeks, they dump it out because they have the video release coming. So they have to dump it into theaters really quickly. So whatever money is spent on the movie house release is now wasted because and that includes a loan for promotion from Telefilm Canada. So they had some money to release it. They just had to dump it in theaters. They dump it in a couple of the main cities. The article also is not happy about that and thinks that that's kind of lame. So they do that so they can match the American VHS release of this movie. I did see that in U.S. theaters, they dump the movie in January 1987. Shapiro Entertainment puts it out in like Indiana. They put it in some various cities in Indiana, like a very nominal release in theaters. And then in Canada in March, New World Mutual puts it out. So New World does release this. It is a weird one for Vidtober after all, because they released it on video, but also they released it in movie theaters in Canada. Released on video in Canada by New World Video in June 1987, along with Wanted Dead or Alive. In the U.S., it's released by Charter Entertainment in May 1987, so just a little bit afterwards. This is the box here. I'm not sure if this is the Canadian or American release, but that is keeping track with the little New World logo there. The article does say, continues this Toronto Star article, it says, never mind whether good or bad, every Canadian movie, particularly one with Kidder and Sarazen, deserves better than to be abruptly plopped in the country's two major cities because an American sales agent can determine a date for U.S. video release without the key Canadians involved having a say. Oh, Canada. That's how he ends that article. So the reason why this is such a forgotten movie is because it never really got a serious theatrical release and then got dumped on video because the American sales agent said, eh. And that's it. That's keeping track. If you've been keeping track, that's the end of keeping track.
Oh, man. If you've been keeping track, good work.
God bless.
Good.
God bless that you're going to be keeping track. Jessica, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you all. Yes,
thank you.
Thank you for...
Merci.
Merci.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup.
If you wanted people to find you, and you've clearly moved far away so people can't, You're wearing a trench coat right now. You clearly are trying to hide yourself.
We're not
away.
Even sure if it's you. We're just assuming.
But where would you like people to find you if you want people to find you?
If you want to find me, I have Instagram. Yes, Jess B. Young. Jess B. Young, 1975. Excuse me as I am going to sleep in my trench coat. Yes.
You really have a amazing. Amazing. Jessica, thank you again. We can't thank you enough. It's so great to have you back. We hope we will have you again later on.
Yes.
If you want to find out more about us or listen to Jessica's other appearances on this podcast, go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com, and that's where you can find all of anything about us is there. And we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.